Hey, this is Red Band, and you're listening to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. This is a part of the Death Squad podcast network that we do here at Death Squad Studios. We have a bunch of different podcasts. Ari Shaffir is one of them. If you want to subscribe to us, go on iTunes and type in Death Squad. Don't forget, we also have deathsquad.tv, and that's where we have all the video components to all these podcasts. We also have all the links to all the guests. You could also donate, and thank you very much for everyone that's been donating. You guys have helped us out a lot with the studio and the bandwidth costs and all that stuff, and you could donate at deathsquad.tv. Guys, here's Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank.
This is so long. Is this the original series is out?
Is this Fame?
Yeah.
Let's hear it. I want to see if I get inspired.
I could work after this.
Is this really Fame?
I want to put on some ankle warmers. It's so funny how just a few decades ago, it might as well have been on an alien fucking planet. Listen to this song. This might as well have been another world.
Yeah,
that's how stupid the
drum machine is there.
Yeah. It's so stupid. People Hell. See me and cry? Is that what it says?
Yeah, people see me and cry. I never thought about that.
I always want somebody to cry when they see you, man. That's just fucked up.
That's for Famous, man. That's Hello, so welcome to podcast number 5 of The Skeptic Tank. Later, we're going to talk about the title and whether
we're changing that bitch.
Rogan doesn't like it. But as you know, we are always trying to figure out a little more about life on this show. And so today, we're going to talk to Mr. Joe Rogan about celebrity and fame and what this is all about.
Powerful good friend, Ari Shaffir.
Yeah.
Nice to have you, buddy.
How are you?
Nice to be here.
Good. We're going to Seattle tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to fuck up the Moore Theater, bitches.
Yeah.
So strap yourself in. There's like 100 tickets left. So if anybody wants them, jump on that
1700,
shit.
1,700, so it's
1,800, I think.
So hurry the fuck
It's
up.
A great place, a really cool theater. Seattle's awesome. Yeah. Such a great town.
There's
so many, like-minded folks. The whole Pacific Northwest, I love that.
Too much armpit hair on the girls.
Too much armpit hair? Yeah.
Well, that's more Portland, but...
You got to bring girls up there. What you got to do is you got to capture a good one, then find yourself a nice compound, a grassy compound by a river.
To go.
Yeah, just high enough so that your house won't get washed away under a big rain. You got to plan for a big rain because every now and then
it happens. Always live on the hills.
Yeah, live up in the hills. Get yourself a good woman. Bring her in there. Have a backup plan in case she goes crazy.
These are some of the benefits of fame, to be honest, is actually being able to sell at a place like the Moore Theater.
Yeah, you got to be able to take chances.
Yeah, I remember some interview with you once that you were talking about, it was like a decade ago or more, but it was talking about what you like out of television. You were like, I can play every club in the country now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the main thing that's opened up to me.
Well, for me, the most important thing always what I was doing, you know, it was like stand-up, and everything else was like sort of stuff that I got because of stand-up. So I never thought like I would ever quit doing stand up. So to me, it was all about what could I if I do well on TV, then more people will come to the clubs. Then people will actually come to pay to see me.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
That's all comics really care about.
Sometimes some comics don't, man. Some comics it's a bridge to a sitcom. And then once they get that sitcom, they actually stop doing stand up.
Yeah, there are those guys.
There's a lot of that. Norton and I were talking about it the other night on my podcast. You know, about the difference between the LA comic and the New York comic. And one of the things is in New York, they don't really give a shit. You're not selling a sitcom out there, all right? You're just doing stand up. You just be funny. That's what you have to do. There's 15 killers on at the comic strip.
And they just do it just to do it.
Yeah, and everybody's just doing it for the art form. And everyone's, you know, fucking with each other. And everyone's, you know, helping each other out. And everyone's giving each other shit about hacky bits and joking around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tense environment.
There are a lot of comics in L.A.
Not
most, but a sizable minority that are just doing it to try to get to the next level, which is fine, I guess.
Yeah, but I think there's so many people out here. That's just numbers anyway. You're going to have that anyway. But I think there's a lot of great comics out here. I mean, Burr's out here. Mm-hmm. You're out here. Joey's out here. I mean, you know, we said it before, but, you know, there's a debate because of this Bill Hicks thing that you and I have talked about. You know, Bill Hicks, Ari doesn't think he's funny. I'm still a huge Bill Hicks fan. He had a big influence on me. but he's not.
He fails as a comedian.
As a comedian, he's more of a social satirist with brilliant bits that are occasionally funny. Some of them were great, like the gym fix jogging bit. I mean, that's a great fucking bit. You know, he had some great, great shit. But as far as like, who's the guy who makes you laugh more than anyone ever? That is Joey Diaz. That's 100%. If you had to ask me who's my favorite comedian to watch on stage, if I got a chance to see Chappelle or I got a chance to see anybody, unless they're dead, then I'd have to see, you know, if I could go back in time and see Lenny Bruce, yeah. I'll see Lenny Bruce. Other than that, I want to see Joey Diaz.
He's hilarious.
Hilarious. And it's all about balls and assholes and sucking cock and cocaine and punching people in the neck.
He doesn't care about George Bush. He doesn't know who's in office right now. He doesn't
have a fucking clue who the vice president is. Huh. You know, I mean, what is comedy ultimately? For us, I mean, I think, you know, when you're, it's really just about what is the most enjoyable, what gives you the most energy, the most positive feeling. When we were in Vegas and we did that Mandalay Bay Theater and Joey was out there.
God, he killed.
Crushing. He was.
Oh my God.
Crushing in a way I've never seen anybody crush. Definitely the hardest I've ever seen anyone crush ever. When he was talking about getting in the fist fight with the nun, it was a true story, and you could tell it's a true story by how he's saying it.
He's sweating because he's acting it out.
We were crying. We were crying.
Were you there?
Yeah.
We were all in the corner. We were all flopping around. First of all, we were all baked as fuck, and we're all like watching this from the sidelines. So we get this awesome view because we get to see the audience reacting to Joey. Like watching the show from the sidelines like that is pretty badass. You know, from the backstage, like right at the edge of the stage where we were. I don't really get to see it that often from that view, but that's close
too.
Yeah,
almost like even with him.
Fuck, that was awesome. Yeah. But that's the most fun shit, man. Everything else I do to get there. You know, everything I do for money and to get there. And
it's like it's fun in the meantime.
Yeah. I mean, except the UFC. I love doing the UFC. Like, there's never a time where I'm calling John Jones, who's about to fight, Ryan Bader. And right before I'm calling the fight, I'm thinking, man, I wish I was somewhere doing stand-up.
Yeah, but you would rather be at home with your friends watching it, though, drinking.
Yes. No, talking. I would rather be there live watching it and not talking.
Right.
That would be the best. Yeah. But, you know, someone's got to talk. So why not, man?
I got so high at this last one. Diaz had some banana bread. I don't know how he found banana bread in Newark, some pop banana bread. But I took a half a breast strip that was like so-so, wasn't that strong. And then he gave me some. I was like, I took enough that I thought would have been good. He goes, I have more. I've had plenty. And I was like, okay. And he just eat it all. I thought I had maybe had acid flashbacks. Because this is what I knew. I could hear people from across the stadium, individual conversations from across wherever we were, the Prudential.
Wow.
But I could hear it.
Well, you know, if you look back into the Hindu Vedic texts, it's all about eating cannabis. That's what they would eat. They'd eat hash. They'd eat large amounts of hash and large amounts of cannabis. And they would have these insane psychedelic experiences. They say that if you take like shitloads of it, that literally it becomes like mushrooms or acid or DMT. You can get to a point where you eat so much pot that you have like a DMT trip.
If you eat one brownie's too much, you eat 10 of them.
Yeah, you go crazy and eat like 10, 12 of them. And then you're lying by yourself in bed. Have you ever had hallucinations when you close your eyes?
A little bit.
Real crazy,
no, not
bright
like that.
Visualizations?
No, not like that.
Dude, one time we took these pills that this guy was making. He was making these THC pills, and he told us, just take one. All right, Eddie took two. Yeah. I listened, and I took one. And I couldn't imagine what Eddie must have been going through, because one was insanely powerful. And by the time I got home, by the time it really kicked in, I was lying in bed with my eyes closed, and I was watching a show. It was all these neon-colored light cartoons, and they were all fucking and creating other different neon light-colored cartoons, and they were all morphing and changing in front of me. It was spectacular. Weird. Spectacular. And it was all from eating weed.
Wow.
Yeah, you can eat weed and you can go on a fucking trip.
Now it makes sense, like an experiment.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, just go deep.
Just go.
Yeah, you can't die. You literally can't die. No one's ever died from it ever. It's not, you know, you only have to worry about is the death of your life, the death of the way you perceive the world.
Yeah.
But you're physically going to be okay.
Okay, so let's get back to the topic. I'm sorry. This always happens. This is another thing I'm trying to fix as much as I can.
Because no,
I go to a real tangent, and then I'm like, lose track, and I try to get back to it.
Listen.
This is a structured podcast.
You're the shit, dude. Just talk.
So what do you think? Let's just say, what do you think? Has your life changed for the better, clearly? That most people would say, okay, it's so awesome to be a celebrity. This must be so amazing. But like, there's ways it's changed for the better. Like playing the rooms and stuff, and we'll get into how it's worse later.
The thing that, of the word celebrity is very open-ended, because you can be a celebrity and everywhere you go, people are mad at you, like Snooki, you know? Or you can be a celebrity like Bob Dylan, where no one hates you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But they still know Snooki, and they treat them differently. Even people like me, who've been around some celebrities, when I see someone I'm supposed to recognize, my behavior changes.
Right, but a lot of people get like really violently aggressive against those people and get angry.
Like
and
they get angry about Paris those Hilton
people.
When she's
yeah, it. Yeah. People like, do you remember when Sarah Silverman was hosting something and she was doing some jokes about Paris Hilton, and Paris Hilton was just about to go to jail, and they focused in on Paris Hilton, and everyone was cheering that she was just about to go to jail, and she was in the audience.
People hate her.
And I was like, wow, that's intense. For what? For being vapid? Jesus Christ. I don't mind people being vapid, man.
For inheriting her money?
It's like what we were talking about, you know, my friend Brian Fraser. Well, I can't tell the joke because he might not want people to know that he actually feels this way. I'll have to change what I was just going to say.
Paparazzis actually have become like bounty hunters nowadays. I mean, that's pretty much the, like Lindsay Lohan has a price on her head, like a bounty.
Have you been hunted down?
No, I'm useless.
Do they take pictures of the improv?
No, they asked me when I called some guy a faggot. They cornered me in a fucking shopping mart parking lot.
Thanksgiving.
They asked me a question.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, man. Get out of here. This is silly.
Beat it, you.
Scram, get out of here with your weird questions.
Yeah.
It's a weird group that you get into. But you go, for a lot of them, they're seeking it. You know, the Kim Kardashians, it's 100% she sought it out. But it's very profitable if you could deal with all those people hating you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, why are you, what are you famous for? Are you famous because you're Dave Chappelle? Because for Dave Chappelle, I mean, I'm sure a lot of knuckleheads come up to him. But for the most part, almost, he's universally loved.
Look, yeah, it's not hate.
Yeah, it's not like he didn't deserve what he got. And he's actually a guy who passed up on money and decided to just live the life of an artist.
He went away from fame a little bit.
Sure he did. He still doesn't do gigs where he could be doing movies right now.
He's less famous than he was. I hear the applause when he goes on. It's not as crazy as right when that show aired, which is natural to think, but
yeah, he's a fascinating case. So there's a big difference between being famous being that guy or being famous being, you know, the Octomom. You know what I mean? Both are celebrities.
The Octomom.
You know?
What's her deal? She just had a bunch of babies for no reason?
She got impregnated.
She's addicted to babies.
She got impregnated and had fucking 8 of them. It's horrible. So sad,
She's got the biggest case of baby fever ever.
She must also have the biggest vagina. She just had 8 babies.
You know what's really sad, man? She was on Oprah. One of Oprah's shows that she has.
I love this Oprah.
Did I watch Oprah?
He is such an Oprah fanatic. It's craziness.
I
like
Oprah. I think Oprah's a positive person.
Is it because your wife has it on?
So no, just, like, I just flipped through the channels and it was on.
I would love to just to walk in. And Joe's just in the living room watching Oprah, just hanging out, having some popcorn.
Like, as you came in, he was like, "You go!" And he sees you, he was like, "You go!" I mean,
you know, look, people shit on Oprah. People shit on Oprah. This is what I think. Oprah is very positive. Oprah does all these positive things, and she promotes positive thinking and positive behavior. She promotes love and happiness. Yeah,
she doesn't really attack anything, huh?
She's not. There's nothing wrong with her.
Can you imagine that? That type of fame, though, that's like princess fame.
Well, she's clearly royalty. But you know what she does with it? It's so positive. You know, she gives hundreds of millions of dollars to charity. You know that? Hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, she is incredibly philanthropic. You know, she's a great person. She really is a great person.
Her, but it's like, what's she done to deserve that?
Nothing. Nothing. She's a badass bitch. Oprah's a badass bitch. She's a fucking billionaire.
Don't be hating coming Oprah.
From like from poverty.
It's just self-made. Girly. That's what it is. It's girly and dumb.
You know what it is, man? It's not for you. That's what it is. It's like we were talking about with the Hicks jokes when he was, you know, getting mad about Tiffany and Debbie Gibson. Uh-huh. That's not for you. Those are songs for girls.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you getting angry about that for?
Yeah, what's the difference?
Yeah, it's like, Oprah's not for you. Yeah, you're not an older woman. But I watched some fucking show earlier today where she took these women to Africa or somewhere, and they're looking at the sunset, and they're all standing out there, and they're all like 40-something, 50-something women, a little overweight. This is their god. They found their leader. They found their God. This is their God. Their God is Oprah. And what she's doing with these people is giving them like a positive guide and role model. She's giving them a positive way to think. She's giving them books to read. She's telling them, hey, get your tits checked out. You know, here's Dr. Oz. Shows you how to do it.
Oh, the beef thing, though. She was mad about the beef. What was it? Tainted beef?
Yeah.
Some sort of beef situation. And then she adopted a kid from Africa. People are like, oh, why are you doing that when these kids are there? And it's like, relax. She adopted a kid.
Yeah, you don't have to adopt all of them. Shit.
It's like, they want to shit on Jamie Masada for running, like, those shows at the Laugh Factory, those Thanksgiving, the free dinners and stuff.
Right.
They're like, oh, you call the press. It's just for press. And you're like, yeah, but also he's giving a free dinner to the homeless.
Right.
You can't completely take it away from him.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
It is a good thing.
It's a positive thing. Yeah, people are fucking weird, man. They wanna shit on things. So anyway,
they can't go outside in public. You could still do that.
Yeah, easy, man. If people see me, they say hi. Mm-hmm. My kind of fame is very easy because people are generally nice to me. You know, I go everywhere. It's like, hey, Joe, what's up? And I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, it's like they know, like from podcasts or from seeing me in the UFC or You know, I'm a regular person, just a person with a camera on me.
But you have more crazies come up to you, like in New York,
and the UFC guys in general. You have this whole UFC fame where you know there's people that are like, come on, fight me, or you know,
not really. Like, I want to roll with you. The guys who want to roll with me are very respectful for the most part. I roll with guys all the time that I don't know.
But wasn't there somebody that like wanted to roll with you and he didn't like? He kept on challenging you, and you was that
MySpace? Yeah, it's a MySpace challenger.
Oh, but you know what? Everybody made a big deal out of that, but it was just a guy who wanted to roll with me. So I said, come on down. I roll with everybody. People tap me all the time. It's like if you're good.
They're like, oh, maybe I'll ask Joe Rogan.
If you're good at jiu-jitsu enough that you can tap me, you've already been doing it a long time. You're actually good at it. Like, just go and do it.
And your fame during a Fear Factor, that was like almost crazy. People.
That got weird.
It was big.
That's fame for a different reason too. Your fame, you're connected to something else. You know, it's a weird kind of fame. Like, they don't really know you very well. It's you know, so it's odd when like I would do Fear Factor and then I would do stand up, and then they would come see me do stand up and they're like, whoa, what the fuck? This guy's talking about like evolution and drugs and jihadists and you know flying squirrel pussy people. It was like, well, this is just too nutty, man. This is not like what we expect out of you. So it took a long time because I've done so many things. I've done like a poor job of managing my quote unquote career.
Yeah.
Because I did a lot of shit just for money, you know, especially Fear Factor. It's just like, to me, it was like, there's no way to pass up on that opportunity to make a shitload of money. I'm like, I have to do it. Even if it's confusing for everybody else, I felt like I had to do it.
Right, but then people didn't know what to get.
Yeah, so I'm. It's confusing. But it's like now, for the first time over the last few years, I think from the time of my Spike special, which was like almost 2 years ago now, and then just all the Twitter stuff, and then the podcast was the final capper of it. This, so I people th- I think see you people, for you. Yeah, and they know, you know, people know they can just say hi to me. I'm just a normal person. There's no difference. I'm not nothing special at all.
Do you feel the eyes on you when you walk into like a food court or something?
Sometimes no. I feel it if it's a bunch of young dudes. Like if I'm around a bunch of guys with shaved heads and tattoos, they're gonna know who I am.
Yeah,
you know. But if I could fucking go right through a bunch of old ladies, they don't have a fucking clue.
It used to be though with Fear Factor, we would go through a mall and it was mob kind of shit for a while.
It got a little weird. You would go from one store to the other and you'd see groups of people following you around. And they'd all have their cameras out and you're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Buying underwear.
Yeah, and like once or twice is fine. You're like, oh sure, it's a fan, but then suddenly it builds up and then you're like, or you're like, I'm at Disneyland with my kid. Can we not do this now?
Yeah. Vegas has always been the weirdest because of first of all, everyone's there on vacation. So everybody wants to get pictures. They're all like I want to get a picture mode.
Oh yeah.
That is
what they're doing.
And then they're there for the UFC and you know, and there's only two guys that get to talk, and I'm one of them. So they come running up to you, man. It's like you can't go anywhere.
The UFC is there half the time.
Yeah, there was one time where we were going to meet someone, and we only had 5 minutes to get from one casino to the other. And I ran into a fucking swarm of people. And I tried to take pictures. I took as many as I'm like, I got to get one more. I gotta go. And then the line just got monstrous. It's like it becomes like a ride that everybody wants to get on. Let's get a picture ride.
They hired people. Well, they have openings in like Westwood for movies. They'll hire like 20 people to stand out there and take pictures. As people get out of their limos, because just for a little while until everyone else builds up, they just start off like a mob or whatever.
They do that so that other people will join in.
They're like, oh, what are you guys taking pictures of? Tom Cruise is coming in a second.
This is planned.
Yeah, and then they get a bunch of people. Wow. And then those people can leave.
I never thought about it that way.
How else they know? There's a big opening right there.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's the people that are really into following celebrities, you know.
God.
It's so strange. Every now and then I'll pick up an Us magazine if I'm feeling extra retarded. I'll pick up one of those Us weeklies if I just want to look at gossip like an idiot, like a little girl. And I start reading
Who's
that
Jake
stuff.
Who's Jake Gyllenhaal dating? What?
Yeah, but here's the thing, man. I don't know who half these fucking people are anymore. I'm starting to be that old man that doesn't know any of the new people.
It's crazy. I look at it, I'm like, who's Michelle and who's John? And why are they losing their baby? I don't know.
How old are you now? 36? 37? 37. Yeah, man, we're old people.
So I don't get the reality show references. Yeah, we're the people now. Like, oh, you kids today. Who are these people?
Man. It's like,
we had real stars. Yeah, like it's Brad like Pitt.
My dad.
You know who they all are.
I know who they are.
You watch TMZ a lot. That's a good way to get involved.
I date the people that still watch all that. Hey, Joey, have you ever thought about that? You have this Zookeeper movie coming out. And this is a movie for kids. And what if this movie becomes crazy big with kids? And then you're now being mobbed by 8-year-olds and 6-year-olds. So, and then you're like at Vegas, so you have UFC fighters and babies wanting to take photos with you, and it mixes into this crazy fame where you're mixing not only potheads with, you know, meatheads, now you have babies.
Children, bad babies. Indoctrinate the babies. Yeah, I don't know.
You
know,
I have noticed that everybody at the UFC is way, like some of them will take pictures, some of them like, I gotta get out of here, all the fighters and everybody. But if there's a child, if there's someone like 8, like, hey, my son wants to take a picture of you, they almost always stop. Like, oh, all right, hold on, let's get this.
Yeah, which I try to. If I see some little kid,
yeah,
you know, if there's like a ton of people and I gotta go,
why
you know,
that?
I'll take a picture. Different? Give the fucking little kid a chance.
Yeah.
He's a little kid, little guys. Cool. Plus, it's like the seeing the joy in their eyes when they meet somebody, you know, it's a, you know, I don't know. It's little kids get a free pass.
Do you feel bad walking away from people when you do have a line?
Yeah, like, I gotta go. Yeah, but it's like the problem is like in Vegas, like you will lose your life. The day will be over, and you can only take a certain amount of them before you get to the next spot. Like I try to be as accommodating as possible, but sometimes we have a show, so you know it's like 6 o'clock. We're out of the weigh-ins, and the show's at 8, and we got to get to this place by 7 and eat, and you know, it's fucking hard, man.
Yeah.
If you stop and take pictures, it could be for like 2 hours.
It annoys me sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, come on.
I know. Yeah,
he's just a regular dude.
One of my greatest memories, though, was being in this huge mob of people, and Bob Hope was walking. He was golfing, and there was just people like, "Oh, Bob, picture, you know, autograph and stuff." And I'm just this little kid, like going, doing, "Hey, I want a picture, you know, or autograph." And then he was just like, kind of looks over, and then stops, goes just right to me, signs an autograph, and says something like, "Hey, keep it up, Ken," or whatever.
Literally, I know that you were gonna make fun of him when he was dead.
Yeah, I know. And now I live off of Bob Hope Drive, and I go to Bob Hope Airport, Burbank, and
that's hilarious.
He's weird.
Bob Hope connection. But you felt like a better person for having met him, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. I remember everything about that day, and I don't remember about anything about that year other than that day.
And all you did was shake an old guy's hand.
Yeah. It was fucking awesome. But he made my day, and that's just cool. Like, he just went to me because I was a kid.
You know?
And he was like, fuck everyone else.
Yeah. It's nice. When I was like 7 or 8, I met, I guess I was maybe 10, I met Ace Frehley from Kiss.
Nice.
When they were wearing makeup, and nobody knew what they looked like, and it was like impossible to get a picture of them. You know, there was no pictures of them anywhere without their makeup. There was no internet back then. That shit would never work today. Never. But they had the craziest of both worlds. They had where they would go out in public, and they would wear, like, Gene Simmons would wear a bandana on when he'd be on a date, so they couldn't take pictures of him. I mean, it's fucking genius shit, really. Okay. Well, I met Ace Frehley with no makeup on when I was like, you know, this little kid. And my uncle used to work for Howard Marks Advertising Agency. My uncle was an artist, and they used to draw the album covers. And so I'm in his office. I hung out with him for the day, and we're drawing. You know, he'd give me pads and shit and set me up. It was a fucking amazing little thing for a young kid to be doing. And then all of a sudden, I hear this guy like screaming, like, what, what? Like you were like, whoop, whoop, like when he walked in the room, like that kind of a thing. And I look over and I'm like, who's this weird guy with the terrible skin? This guy had terrible skin. Yeah, my God, he's just had like zits everywhere. It was crazy. I mean, when you're just doing heroin and putting makeup on every night, that shit is terrible for your skin. I don't know if he was doing heroin. You know, I'm just making that
Let's
up.
Let's assume.
I'm assuming he did. He fucking partied, all right?
Yeah.
Ace Frehley isn't Gene Simmons. I mean, Gene Simmons literally never drank, never did drugs, never did anything.
He was at least heroin adjacent.
He had issues with coke, I know that. But either way, he's a bad motherfucker. You know, I'm a huge Ace Frehley fan. So for him to walk into the room like that, I was like, holy. And when my uncle told me, Joe, this is Ace. Ace is Joe. I go, Ace? He goes, Ace Frehley. I go, oh! I was like, I get to see him with no makeup. It was like I've been in the presence of something. I was like, holy shit, I know.
That's so cool.
It would trip me out.
It is like godlike a little bit, right?
Completely. Yeah, there's something crazy about it.
Just to meet, touch their hand, just...
It's a weird thing, I guess. Is it because you know that those people are connecting with so many people? Is that why it is? What is it that makes you so drawn into them?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's something. It sure is something. I feel it when I run into famous people.
Yeah.
Even if I know them.
Like even like a Damon Wayans or something.
Yeah.
Someone you knew from before.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
And I say hi to them. I'm always shocked when they say hi back.
Yeah.
Like Chris Rock. Every time I see Chris Rock, I'm like, hey, what's up, man? And he goes, hey, Joe. I'm like, he knows me. It's weird. It's like, even if you're one of them, it's like, I told this story to you before, but one time I was hanging out with Kevin James. Kevin James is a fucking big movie star.
And you knew
right?
him before he was.
Yeah. Well, I knew him when he was an open micer. We were both open micers, basically. Okay. We were getting like little gigs.
So it's not like from your childhood it had ingrained.
No. All, right? No. We were buddies and we were both broke. Oh, that's cool. I got him signed up with my manager. Yeah. I was the one who recommended it. And Kevin's a great guy. Anyway. We were hanging out and we were doing this Zookeeper movie in Kevin's hotel. And this is when Kevin's a giant fucking movie star, right? And he's the star of this huge Sony picture that they're putting together. I mean, it's fucking massive. It's so big that they postponed it until July of next year. It was supposed to be October of last year. Zookeeper. They postponed it to July because they said it tested higher than any movie they ever did.
Jesus, wow. People yeah. love him.
They love him. They love him. So anyway, he's in his hotel room and Tom Cruise was in town. And Tom Cruise was on the street in front of this bar and people were taking pictures of him, and Kevin and me were both pressing our nose up to the window going, fucking Tom Cruise is right there. Wow. Where is he? There he is. That's Tom Cruise. That's
so you could see him.
Yes, I could. That's see craziness. Him. We could see him down there and we could see people running to him. We saw people running down the street to Tom, running, dude. Bring one guy sweat. Ran away to go get his wife and his camera and was running back. Wow. We were watching him. He was running like there's money in it. He was running like his, you know, his life was in danger.
I wouldn't run to go to the grilled cheese truck, which is delicious. But
this
I
guy
definitely
was
would.
Running. He wanted to make sure he got that picture with
and
Tom Cruise.
Huge stars. The guy from Fear Factor and the guy from the King of Queens.
Fogging noses on glass. Fucking, that's Tom Cruise.
Did you have this moment where you both realized what you were doing?
I realized it. Like, I brought it up to him. I said to him, you know, I said, dude, you're a huge movie star. See what you're doing.
We're fanboys.
Like, this is funny. Yeah. Kevin's the ultimate fanboy when it comes to, like, UFC and shit. He's doing a UFC movie right now. Where it's really a fucking mind fuck for him because he's got to play a fighter.
Is it a serious movie or a comedy?
It's comedy. It's comedy. But it's more of a serious comedy than some of his other ones. I mean, he's going to have like some serious fight scenes. He's been training for it for months. He's lost 50 pounds.
He looks awesome, actually.
It's incredible. His face looks so fucking good.
Really?
Kevin is a skilled guy, man. When it comes to martial arts, I've trained with him many, many times before. And you would not know it by looking at him. He, you know, like even when he has a big gut, that fucking guy can punch. He can punch and he can kick. He moves good. I mean, it's really shocking. He just has he loves food.
He lost a shit ton of weight.
Yeah, but he's
it looks like Drew
he's
Carey-ish.
Very dedicated. That guy's very dedicated. He fucking trains hard. He really does. Huh. But you know, but it's anyway the fame thing. It works even on famous people. You know, it's like someone was talking about this. Norton was talking about this
because
when we did our podcast.
Yeah,
he was talking about Robert De Niro. Uh-huh. That when Robert De Niro's in a room, even like famous Oscar winners, like holy shit, that's De Niro. And they want to go near him and take a picture of him.
Yeah, and Jimmy actually is so addicted to the fame thing.
Yeah.
He takes photos. He collects photos of stars. And on the podcast, you can listen to it on the Joe Rogan Experience on iTunes. Subscribe. I'm sure everyone is. But it's the, what is it, podcast number 93?
It's the last one we did, and it's Jim Norton live at the Smod Castle. Yeah. So it's a live podcast.
And he talks about it, how his addiction to just taking photos of celebrities and stuff like that.
But at some point, it became a little bit of a collection with him. He just wants to continue his collection, right?
He loves it.
Or he just still like
he just gives into the fact that he's fascinated and giddy when he meets famous people for whatever reason.
He's famous.
Yes, he's famous. Norton is definitely famous, but he's not as famous as De Niro.
No.
You know, the thing is that it just for whatever reason it works all the way up the ladder.
Do you
it's just
feel
a
famous?
Weird thing. Sometimes is Vegas that a different Vegas
because
Vegas,
everyone
you know, just feel like all these eyes are on you. You know, but mostly no. You know, most I can just ease around. And like I said, my level of fame is like no one's really that pressed to meet me. They're just friendly. It's like, hey, what's up?
Uh-huh.
It's not like Will Smith walked into the room. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's like a level of fame where you become like people will like, holy shit, that's that guy. I'm never gonna.
Yeah.
I'm easy. I'm like your friend.
Every once in a while, somebody gets a little too freaked out by you.
Yeah, but that's some not people too, get they get freaked out by any. I mean, these people that are on reality shows, I'm sure people fucking freak out. It's the situation. I can't believe it, bro. You're my idol. You're my idol. I cut my hand like you. I heard your cologne. You wear that cologne. I wear that cologne. I mean, no matter what,
I enjoy seeing people act differently. I can see them changing because I don't have to worry about it, so I can just observe them in the background.
Yeah.
And you see them start to act different.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like that guy at the billiards, the Hollywood Billiards, which is closed, but I just love that. The guy goes to the bathroom, walks by you, and then walks back and waits till like you're around. And he goes, hey, what'd you think of that big fight the other day? Because he'd been looking over for like an hour.
Right.
And you're like, oh, which one? And he's like, oh, I don't know. like he had just heard you were a fight commentator and he was like, I gotta talk, say something. But he doesn't care what the answer is. He just wanted to get you talking.
Yeah, sometimes people just want to have conversations.
Oh, I don't know. I had no clue.
That used to happen much more. Used to happen much more when MMA was just starting to become popular. There was a lot of fake fans.
People didn't know about it. They, just
they knew it was
cool,
the latest cool thing, so they would start talking about it. Yeah, you know, here Ken Shamrock's killing everybody, and that's what? You know?
Yeah. I felt like that guy a little bit right when I started watching it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know.
Who's who?
But I'm like hanging around. Yeah.
It's a lot of fucking fighters to keep track of.
So
you know?
Many now.
And right now, there's, I think, 250, and then WEC, the merger, they brought in more than that. And now there's a Strike Force thing going on, so they're all under contract.
Bigger people,
too.
Not the top level people, but just like the celebrity type fighters, they have like a 3-4 year run of when they're like in the mainstream. Like Brendan Vera's kind of done now.
Yeah, those guys, I don't know, maybe he can come back. Hopefully. Alistair Overeem came back, you know, and he had lost a lot more times than Brendan.
Out of the big time.
Yeah, well. You gotta win, man. It's a fucking cruel bitch, that game. That's a cruel bitch. Fighting is a very cruel. That it's way harder for them to be famous than it is for me. You know, those guys literally get guys testing them all the time, believe it or not. You know, Chuck Liddell's talked about how guys will like actually pick fights with him.
It's really?
Like,
at bars, to see how they stack
you're like,
up.
God damn, man. Really? You're picking a fight with a trained killer? Like, what are you doing?
That's a sucky thing, too, because that's a fighting is something anyone can do.
Yeah.
You can just get into a fight. You can't, like, challenge Wayne Gretzky to a
hockey game.
Yeah, to a shootout.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
I happen to have these sticks on me right now, and there's an ice room in the back.
Yeah.
Let's do this, Gretz.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing where it's connected to men's egos, man. Nothing's connected to men's egos more than bucking somebody down. It's got a big name for being a tough guy. So these tough guys
get challenged.
You know, yeah, they get challenged. It apparently happens a lot with idiots. You would think no way, but there's some people that are so dumb, man. They're just so dumb and drunk. And they just can't help themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you ever done a commercial?
No, I don't think so. I did a milk ad, one of those Got Milks.
All right.
Keep trying to get
nobody
to
wants
this.
Me representing their product. That's why I've got a rubber vagina for hosting my sponsoring my podcast.
So you've never been offered anything like
not really.
Legit shit? I mean,
not really. No, I think I read for something once a truck thing. You know, like some truck ad, but it wasn't on person. It was a voiceover. Yeah.
They try to get people's voices.
I'm too controversial. You know, I say a lot of stupid shit that, you know.
I still think that's wrong. I still think you get like a Reichardt or something or a Monster.
I think you should get an Apple. Can you imagine you being the new Apple guy? Just
well,
being like, hey, what
their products.
Fucker? Are you just like going off
with some chip music playing
I would just say it so simply. It would, yeah, it costs more. Guess what? It doesn't have viruses.
Bam.
All right? That's worth way more. That's worth a lot more. What is it? $1,000 more? That's worth, for me, for someone who saves their shit, for someone who, you know, who appreciates something that fucking works every time I turn it on, these things are invaluable.
You never know. They might go back to the black color scheme, and they're like, dude, we need Joe Rogan.
That is one thing I remember you getting better for is the iPhone. When the 3GS came out, we were all in Tempe or somewhere, and we're like, oh, maybe we'll go get the new iPhone. You guys both wanted it. The line was down the steps, around the block. It was monstrously long. And you're like, oh, we're not waiting for this. But then you're like, hey, how you doing? And the guy was like, come to the back.
No. What's her face did it for us.
Who?
Yeah. Eva.
Eva did it for us. That was in Denver.
She went to the back. That's right.
Yeah. She did it for us. She says, you're not going to wait in this line. I'm going to take care of this. And she went and took it. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You didn't have to say like,
because I was hanging out. Me and Brian were like, you think she's going to be able to pull that off?
And that's why Eva works for Chelsea Handler. She gets shit done. She works for the best.
Because stars don't Eva's... have the ability. Like normal people can't be like, do you know who I am? Let me
some people do it though, but it's the ultimate douche move. You know?
I did it with Ronnie Zissi once. This was like right when he did Punk'd. We were in line at some club in Vegas with his wife and Kim and Caparulo. And he was like, we can't get in. Just try it. So I went over there like, I've got Steve Ronnie Zissi from Punk'd in the line. Ashton might be coming by. Can we just get in? And it wasn't that busy, so I let us in, but we couldn't believe it worked.
Wow.
Yeah. He just goes, yeah, Ashton might be coming.
That is one good thing.
You never know. He might be.
He might be.
That is one good thing, though. Pretty much wherever you go, and we always get top table at a bar. You know, even if it's the packed nightclub, they're pretty much, hey, Joe, come over here. And in a lot of places even throw down bottles.
After close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I also tip really heavily.
Oh, yeah.
I tip people. I slap out hundreds to people all the time. That's important. But bartender gives you a beer, give him $100. Bam. But you know,
that's a whole different level that the normal person doesn't ever, ever, ever experience. I mean, the first time I felt it was when I started hanging out with you. And I remember being, that was the coolest thing in the whole world.
That's Tony Soprano shit.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, line down the street. And then they're just, hey, come up here to the front. And then next thing you know, you're just going through this crowd of people. And then there's just this empty table in the middle of the craziest nightclub ever. And then there's a guy, there's like a bodyguard so you can't get to us. And stuff like that. And then there'd be just chicks going, oh, hey, hey. And then we would like wave, yes, she may come. And the bodyguard. I mean, it's
the
like,
on the left.
It's crazy. And, and that's a level of fame that I've never, that no one will ever experience. The majority of people will experience that.
Not on any one time.
They need to, that should be what a nightclub should offer. You have, you know, you pay, it should be like, no, like a VIP card, you know.
Where, it cost a lot of money, man. Yeah.
It would cost at least a grand or two just to like...
More than that. More than that, man. That. Bottles are a grand.
Oh, yeah. And then you got to pay for everything.
Yeah. Bottle service? You get a bottle. It's like $600 or something.
But honestly, that bottle is $19.
We always do this thing when they clear out a section. And they're like, guys, we need this. We're going to move this.
But it's my anniversary. We planned it for 2 years.
Yeah. They say, you can stay here if you want bottle service. And we always do the thing. We're like, how much is it? Let's think about it. Like, let's just leave with our dignity. Actually, we're going to go hang out with everybody else.
Leave our dignity. It just seems weird to pay so much money to drink.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of money, man.
I want three drinks.
Yeah.
But that's
even the biggest $30.
$600 bottle.
That's cool shit, though. You have your whole vodka. You have like the cranberry, the orange juice, the Red Bull.
When we do in Vegas, it's fun. And well, the craziest thing now is they pay you to have parties in clubs.
Absolutely. Show up.
I've done a few of those.
That's awesome.
So now you get a free bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're still paying money. You sell it. Give it out to those waitresses and give it out to the doorman. And you gotta make people happy. You know, you have this crazy advantage, this weird situation that happens in one in a million. And, you know, and you these people are all gonna be nice to you. You gotta give them money. Pass it around.
What percentage is you giving it out to make them happy and versus I don't want them thinking I'm a dick?
Oh, it's all to make them happy. It's all to make them happy because I feel guilty that they're giving me preferential treatment. You know, like when we were in New York, I gave that driver every night. I was giving
I kept seeing you reach in there.
Hundreds. Like, I was giving him hundreds.
Alex is hitting the big time.
Yeah, yeah. I gave him a shitload of money over the course of the weekend, but he was a good dude and he was hanging out with us. And so I wanted him, like, I got him a ticket for the fights. So he parked his limo and then came in and watched the fights. He came in and watched the comedy show.
Yeah, he hung out with us. It was awesome. He was like, hey, do you like MMA? And he was like, would you like to see the fights?
Yeah, you boom, like, you're on the floor, what? Son. Yeah, I gave him a ticket right on the floor.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, hanging out with Joey and Ari. You know, so instead of just sitting there with his dick in his hand waiting for 6 hours, this guy got to see like one of the greatest MMA cards ever with a huge historical fucking main event. You know, John Jones wins the title. It was cool. You know, I like that. I like being able to do things for people that make them happy. And that's a huge benefit of fame, is that you can affect someone, you know, like much more than the average person can. And then, you know, and if you're generous and you're nice to them, like it has an impact on them. That's the best thing about it.
I will. It'll have an impact. Yeah. Like Brian remembers that Bob Hope situation.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And, you know, that I think that makes you feel better. It makes them feel better. It makes everybody feel better.
Yeah.
It's like the one thing that I've learned over the course of my life is how to make more moments like that happen. And that moments, happy moments where everybody's having a good fucking time and it feels good. I can make those happen. You know, I can be extra generous to this cool limo driver and make this guy's weekend. Yeah.
That awesome moment in his life.
He'll or I could just be some guy who doesn't talk to him, and I could be some guy who he doesn't give a fuck. You stop the car. Thank you. I get out. I don't tip him. I don't have to tip him. There's a tip included in it. You know, I used to drive limos myself. When you drive a limo, you don't have to tip the guy. There's most companies, their account has a certain amount built in, 15% or whatever the fuck it is. So you're going to get a tip anyway if you're a driver. That's how you get paid. If you're driving 8 hours, you're not going to get stiffed. Right. You know, they make it so the driver gets taken care of. I know that, but you got to give him money, man. You got to get to make him happy. It's an opportunity to take some guy and all of a sudden you make his weekend. That to me is one of the best parts about it.
Wow. Yeah. People used to ask for I would have like credentials sometimes to get in or whatever. And people are like, can I have that? I'm like, yeah, okay. But it's like a huge little chunks of it. Just getting close to it sometimes. It's just big for people. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, I think that would be one of the biggest things if I ever reached a certain level of fame that I would constantly do is doing what you do, being overly generous. Like, I saw you the other day, we ordered two drinks and you tipped the guy like $100 or something ridiculous. I'm like, if that was me and I was a waiter, I would be talking about that for months. You know?
Whenever that happens, me, I'm assuming Brian does it too, and probably Diaz too, where it's like you catch out of the corner of your eye, you see how much you're tipping. And part of you is like, wants to be like, yeah, I'm totally cool, whatever, man, whatever. But then, somewhere inside, you're like, what the fuck? That's so much money.
I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'll tip people $400 if they're nice. You know, I've had people in Vegas where they were super nice and we had a couple of drinks and I was feeling good. I'm like, I'm just going to give this fucking chick $500.
Tell that story for boom. Years.
See, I would do that shit all day long.
It makes them feel great. Then the next time they see you, they're happy to see you. It's just, you're creating this positive effect. And it's not just like making someone, you know, want your money. It's an act of generosity. It's an act of happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the
just
best
sharing
thing.
This with me. Until recently, I used to be like greedy with my like, snack foods, like Kit Kat. I'm like, I only have four. Nobody's fucking touching this.
Oh, no. It's always better when you share.
But now, especially when I'm high, it's like, have this with me.
Yeah.
We could just get another one.
If you're eating something and someone wants what you're eating, you can't enjoy it as much. You're not going to enjoy it as much. You're going to feel them right next to you wanting what you're eating. It's going to feel weird.
One time, David Taylor, he's always a fucking, he's like a hawk or a vulture. He just waits like, are you going to eat that? You can eat that? And it's like, yes, just wait until I'm done. I'll give you all my leftovers like I always do. And he kept bothering me one day. And eventually I just got so mad. I was like, damn it, Dave. I just reached over the salt, unscrewed it, and just poured it all over my food. I was like, now no one gets it. Just spiting myself.
Well, he's kind of broke, isn't he? Yeah, that might be a food issue.
Yeah, what if he was hungry, dude? Yeah, what if he was like really sorry?
I will not apologize for this. He was hungry. He already eaten a full plate himself.
If it was anybody other than David Taylor. David's so negative. He brings it on himself sometimes.
He laughed when I did it. He's like, I'm sure well he did. Well,
he's a negative funny guy, I should say. Yeah. I'm not negative just for being negative. That's his sense of humor. Is
yeah. It? Here's a negative thing that I've seen about the fame is that you don't smoke pot with people. With fans.
Yeah,
that's just called smart. The more I think about that, that's fucking smart.
Well, I met a guy that I was pretty sure was a cop in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Who was trying to buy DMT from me, and I'm positive this guy's a cop. And I was like, "What are you talking?" I'm like, first of all, I wouldn't sell anything. I wouldn't sell you an orange. I'd give it to you, right? I'm not selling anything. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know where to buy that stuff. Like, that shit's rare as fuck. If you can get it, good luck to you. I have no idea how to. And you're asking me in Cleveland? What do you think? We just go on psychedelic trips? Yeah, we go see God every weekend. That's what we do. The DMT trip is so goddamn profound that you really don't want to have too many of them. You want to have them very rarely and space it out where you really get to think about what the fuck just happened. You go in there every weekend, man, you might not come out normal. You know, you might literally come out scrambled. So I was convinced that this guy was trying to set me up. And I was like, how gross is this, man? He just sat in a fucking comedy show for an hour and a half to set me up. So I thought about it. I was like, you know, you can't really be smoking pot with people. It's not California. If it was in California, that's normal. I mean, you guys all have licenses, just all you have to ask. Yes? Everyone's got a prescription? Yes. And then, you know.
But you still wouldn't do that in, like, Sacramento, would you?
No. You never know, man.
Here's the bigger problem with that is fucking just putting mouth to mouth. You're just with strangers the time. I mean, fucking Joey Diaz just had fucking a strep throat. Next thing you know, we're all sick.
How psychosomatic are you? You just started talking about it. Your voice got hoarse.
Joey Diaz had strep throat.
You started thinking about strep throat and you got sick instantly in front of us.
Yeah, but your friends, non-strangers, have strep throat too.
What?
Like, people you know also get sick.
No, it's just not smart to do that. Like, if it's me and my girl and we want to smoke some weed, that's fine. But even, like, when, like, if it's me, you, and a couple people, it's like you're still fucking mouth-kissing three other guys.
Yeah, so what?
And
it's like me and some strange girl at a bar. You'll kiss her.
Huh?
Meet some strange girls.
Yeah, but you don't fucking meet strange girls at bars and kiss them every single day.
Ari does. That's how he rolls, bitch. You don't even know.
I go to bars.
Ari's just slinging dick all around town, son.
We all share our sicknesses with each other.
I love it because people have gotten to the point where they were like, hey, can we get high? I'm like, yes, find me after the show. If you know a good place to go, let's fucking do it.
That might change when you become famous and you worry about being locked in a cage.
Yeah, if I get stopped once.
It's not legal. I don't do things that are against the law. It's really simple. In LA, it's not against the law. In LA, it's simple. But everywhere else, it's against the law.
It depends how illegal it is.
It's not worth it.
In Winnipeg, some guy was like, you want to get high? I'm like, is it legal here? And he goes, oh, yeah, as long as you're white, you can smoke in the street outside.
As long as you're white.
I was like, really? He goes, yeah.
What's non-white up there? It's like Indians, right?
Yeah.
American Indians.
They're Mexicans.
Yeah, weird, huh?
So what do you think about this title, Skeptic Tank? You don't like it.
I don't like the title. I think the title should be the Ari Shaffir Podcast. That's what I think, because it should be, promote you. Yeah, it gets your name out, it promotes you. The Skeptic Tank, that could be anything. It could be anybody. It doesn't sound funny. Ari Shaffir is a stand-up comedian. For people who know you, they like you, they seek it out. If they were going through iTunes, oh, the Ari Shaffir Podcast. Boom. Let me search. Let's search under Ari Shaffir. Boom, it's right there. I mean,
but if you search under Ari Shaffir, it'll still come up, right?
Yeah, but they might not know what that is. They might not download it. There's some people that, you know, the Skeptic Tank, what's this? It's some show he might have been on.
Oh, right.
Blah, blah, blah. No, they're not going to do
it. Yeah, because something else that comes up, that's true, because something else that comes up is like a poker podcast I did once with somebody. That'll come up in there too, or other things will come up. But like, this can't be it.
It's also the name Skeptic, you know, it's even though it implies critical thinking, I mean, critical thinking and not passing judgment before the facts are in line, right? That's what a real skeptic
is. Everyone says, like, skeptical means, like, you don't think anybody's telling the truth. Like, no, skeptical means you're taking a second look at it to make sure.
I think he's just called Jew Clam.
Jew Clam.
That's not bad.
I think that's good. That's Ari Shaffir's Jew Clam.
Jew Clam.
You love that
podcast.
Well, because you're clam bacon and talking and you're a Jew.
That's not a bad idea.
Jew Clam.
Jew Clam has a good ring to it.
Maybe, yeah, can we get sponsored by any clam companies?
You know what? You know why it has a good ring? Because it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, just the word Jew Clam.
And there's history.
Ari Shaffir's
there's
Jew Clam.
History too.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Ari Shaffir's Jew Clam bit.
Yeah.
No. Jew Clam.
I'm just throwing stuff out here, guys. We're just brainstorming.
Hey, yeah, well, we're shooting you down, buddy.
As soon as it was out, I knew it was bad.
The Skeptic Tank, though, is not cracking. There's something wrong with
it. I like it because for this reason. One, because I like to like analyze different parts of life that I haven't normally considered. That's the skeptic part. And the tank makes it. Some guy on Twitter came up with it. He was like, Skeptic Tank, because you love shit so much. I was like, that's a good title.
Hmm.
You overanalyze everything because you're Jewish, I think.
Also,
I think that most people in your category they all do the exact same thing.
I would think it's more of a curiosity tank than a skeptic tank.
Yeah, curiosity tank even. Yeah,
you're not a
curiosity
skeptic.
Killed the Jew clam. No,
I wouldn't say you're a skeptic. I would say you're a critical thinker.
Yeah,
you know, you're a good guy. You're one of those people that can step back and look at shit and go, well, I don't agree. Why don't we think this? Why don't we think you're a guy that can take a unique angle on things.
For not to like drugs, people like I'm a coke. You know, into coke. Before I was like, ugh, coke. But now I'm like, do your drug, man. I'm not into it. But fucking go for it. It makes you happy.
Yeah, I used to be the same way. I used to be real judgmental when it came to people doing different drugs.
People just do different things in their lives.
You know what I realized, though, along the line was that what I was being judgmental about was I was terrified of ever seeing myself doing those drugs.
Yeah.
So I'd get upset at other people for doing them. But it's not my business.
Yeah, like, why are you living your life in a way I don't want to live mine?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's not your fucking business.
What were you going to say?
None. I was just thinking that I was thinking of names for your podcast. I was thinking like you always try to get to the bottom of everything, so maybe Bottoms Up.
Yeah, I wanted something that did that. Bottoms Up.
Jew Clam. Jew Clam is good because you're Jewish, so you can get away with it. It's funny for no reason, just by itself. It's funny. There's a video behind it.
Yeah, I think the name itself is just.
I'm officially putting this out there to anyone online for suggestions.
Jew Clam.
Yeah,
if
go
you guys think of anything
but and get a hold of Ari at twitter.com/Arishaffir.
And by the way, it's not cool anymore that you only follow Charlie Sheen on your Twitter.
Well, here's what I got to find somebody else that's cool to follow because I'm over that guy.
Yeah,
because that's
he's the only guy you're following.
Famous.
Yeah, he just decided to unfollow everyone except Charlie Sheen.
Why do you do that?
How come? Here's why. Interesting.
Two part. One, because. When that story broke, I was super intrigued by it. And that's also because of celebrity. I'm like, this awesome celebrity is telling the truth. But two, it's because I wanted to, like, certain people clock my feed, like Brody Stevens. He'll feel bad if I unfollow him. So I figured just unfollow everyone at the same time. And that way I don't have to use it anymore. And honestly, I don't waste as much time on Twitter anymore. I'm not checking up on things all the time.
Ari Shaffir losing track with the
it's sort of a internet connection.
That's the first to go is your Twitter, and then you're going to start fucking being.
Facebook.
How do I change the clock on my Blu-ray player?
My levitating 3D machine the clock doesn't work.
To me, Twitter is an invaluable resource. I get so many cool links. Connect with so many interesting people that have points of view on things and people who are experts in certain areas that will say, oh, the reason why, you know, the neural pathway reacts this way to certain chemicals.
That's a huge benefit from your
fame. Fucking huge, man.
You can get to experts on situations.
Yeah, I get emails from scientists all the time from subjects that we talk about on the podcast. And I've talked to guys that are involved in research companies. I've talked to guys who are involved in breeding animals for food companies. I mean, I've talked to some really fucking fascinating people because of the podcast.
Yeah, that's a huge benefit.
Yeah, people that work for NASA, robotics. Is that a guy from Graham Hancock's following me, and I'm following him on Twitter. I'm trying to get him to do the podcast, but I don't know how to contact him. I need to get an email. That guy, if there's a guy that I would like to get on the podcast, it's that guy. He's a guy that I would get like starstruck.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would your number one starstruck guy be?
Yeah, who do you get starstruck meet him by? Today?
Man, I don't have one.
Or a girl, like Oprah?
I can't think of. Oh, I would get starstruck if I met Oprah.
Yeah?
I like Oprah, man.
She's huge, and she's been huge since you were six.
She's huge, and I appreciate what she's doing. I know it sounds like ridiculous. It's very in to hate Oprah.
Yeah, I saw in your kitchen that you read like MMA magazines, and then you read O also.
I like to be diverse, dude. Like Miyamoto Musashi, you know what I'm saying? I'm working on my calligraphy and my cutting dudes' heads off.
What is the best way for people to approach you? Somebody wrote this on Twitter, but I like it. If someone was your ideal interaction with somebody, Bill Simmons, a sports writer, he wrote this once. He goes, if you see me at a bar, the most awesome way you can say that I would like or out in public, he's like, hey, man, big fan. Mind if I buy you a beer? And just give me the beer and say, just want to shake your hand and then walk away.
Yeah, that's cool, but sometimes it's nice to talk to people, too. Mm-hmm. It all depends. You know, sometimes it's intrusive. Like, some people, they don't appreciate the fact that you're already involved in a conversation. Like, say if it's, you know, I might be, like, when I was in New York, mm-hmm. right, and we were playing pool, and I was hanging out with Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy's my friend for over 20 years, yeah. So I don't get to see him. I don't get to see him but once a year. So we're out, and I'm trying to have fun, and we're talking and laughing about shit, and people get disrespectful when they get drunk, yeah. and they just interrupt the conversation.
Yeah.
They don't wait for an opening. They don't say, excuse me. They just start talking. Or they touch you. That's another thing they like to do. They put their arm, hey, holy shit.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck that you're already involved in some sort of a conversation if they're drunk. You know?
Yeah, and that's another thing too. You work nightclubs a lot.
Yeah, a lot of
and
drunks.
And that
yeah.
means a lot of drunks.
Yeah, but like I said, I think most people think of me as just a normal person with a camera on them. You know, it's different. It's different than, you know.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they still review you like a celebrity.
I remember even when I started working for you, the first year and a half, I still had this weird vibe with you where I felt like I couldn't be myself or something like that.
Yeah, you feel like you want to be better in front of them.
Yeah.
In front of celebrities in general.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for, bro. I'm here to motivate you bitches. Yeah. I'm here for you to get you to rise.
God, it's so uncomfortable now that I think about it. You try to be a better person for some dude who was on news radio or whatever it was. It's like, why do I care?
Right.
Well, what it's really like is just like being a hot chick.
Yeah.
When guys are on hot chicks, they try to pretend to be something better than they are. That's why I always tell men, aspire to be who you pretend to be when you're trying to get laid. Aspire to be that guy. I mean, that's like the best you could possibly pull off, you know? That is, if you really can be that, then you can be that all the time, and then you don't have to try.
As long as you're not... Your game is not to try to like sell out masculinity and just try to like.
Oh yeah, that bitch ass shit. Yeah. Oh, that drives me nuts.
That would be when not guys want to be.
Yeah, when guys play the moral high ground.
Some dude comes up to you and is like, "Excuse me, are you mistreating the lady? Are you raising your voice?" It's like, weak bro, ass
shit.
What, you've never had a cunt in your life before?
Weak ass
Relax.
Shit.
Relax. You don't know anything about this.
I got in an argument like that with a comic once after we did a gig. It was so gross. He was just this was really kind of a. I don't want to say like effeminate, but he was just a soft guy and he was really liberal. And we were at a bar and there was these, it was just a terrible gig on the Cape. And this group of girls were fucking hammered. They were hammered and they were abusive and yelling at people and they got in their cars. And I'm like, will you fucking believe these fucking drunk pigs? They're going to drive home. And this guy goes, hey man, I don't really appreciate you calling women pigs. I'm like, really? I'm like, listen to me, so fuckhead. Started. A buddy of mine from high school died of drunk driving just a couple of years earlier. So I see these pigs get in a car slosh drunk. I'm going to call them pigs. They're fat pigs.
If you call boys fat pigs, he would not have a problem.
He would have no problem with it. You know, to me, it was just human. They were like... I mean, it was piggy. They were piggy behavior. They were selfish and loud and shitty and stupid.
I have a theory on that, on why guys do that.
Captain Save-A-Ho.
Here's what it is. They think women are victims, are weaklings. Like, if you were making fun of a retarded person, they'd be like, hey, come on, man, stop that. That's the same way. They have to rush to their defense.
Maybe. Some guys.
But you wouldn't have to rush to defense of somebody strong and strong-willed.
Maybe some guys, but I think some guys like to just pretend that there's some fucking chivalrous rules that are written. There's human beings. There's nice men and there's nice women, and it's that simple. Yeah. And there's three types of people in the world: morons, assholes, and people you can hang out with. You hear that? That was my little one. Aww, she's smart.
That was shut the cutest that door quick.
Yeah, she's like,
she's pretty wise. She knows there's a goddamn podcast going on.
That was, as many times as I've been here, that was easily the cutest thing I've seen.
Yeah. That was pretty adorable.
Yeah. Babies are cute.
Daddy, and just walked away.
Would you want your kids to become famous?
No, I wouldn't wish this on anybody.
Why? See, so what's that
about? It's
too
strange because it takes too much management. It's too awkward. There's too many different weirdos that want your time. There's too many people that connect to you.
Yeah, what are the negatives?
It's not worth it. That's the negatives. The negatives are you have to manage all these other human beings that are connected to you. You know, and you do your best to put out as a positive a vibe and have people kind of follow along with that vibe as much as possible. Yeah. But there's always going to be some people that don't. And those people are a pain in the ass. And there's nothing you can do about that. They just are on their own trip and you run across them and it becomes annoying. You know, people become attached. It happens to people all the time. People become attached to people. People become obsessed with people. People want too much of your time. People get douchey with you online because they just want your attention. That's a big one. I find that on message boards too. Guys will insult me, and I know why they're insulting me. They're insulting me so that I'll respond. I'm like, this is just so pathetic. So on my board, I just make them retarded. I make them pink. I have the sweetest situation set up on my board where I have a regular message board. But when you act like a dick, we give you a pink name and we send you to special ed. And you're just a dumbass now. Now you're a shithead. You know, you want to say stupid things to be? Yeah, it's what it is. It's a fucking pigsty. It's a pigsty full of shitheads. And they're all in there wallowing around and being assholes. And yeah, I give them a free forum. You can still communicate there.
The asshole is not around me.
Yeah. I just don't want you fucking up the conversations that happen in the main room.
It's a conversation. Like, I've experience fame on a very, very minute level where it's like, as I get off stage, I'm famous sort of right there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's sometimes annoying when you're talking to a friend and somebody's like, hey, good study. Like, oh, thank you. But then they stay. They want to mention something about your bit. You're like, oh, you're interrupting a conversation. I don't say anything.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is a moment in life that I appreciate it. You know, conversation with a smart, intelligent friend. And it's like, it puts an end to it. And then eventually the friend walks away and you're like, that's kind of ruined.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. There's a little of that. There's a little of people intruding.
Yeah.
People,
you get super mad about people when you're eating.
Yeah. It's rude. People, I have a mouthful of food in mid-conversation and people come up and go, I need to take a picture. Like, do you not realize this is a crowded restaurant? If I take a picture with you, then I'm going to have to take a picture with 100 other people. I'm going to get up. I'm going to put there's times to do this. You can see when a person gets up. If I'm getting up, I'm going to the bathroom and say, do you want to take a picture? Sure, let's take a picture. Well, I've got a mouthful of food and you really, come on, really? There's no time where I can relax and have a meal. Can't wait. A restaurant is so that we all have meals together and, you know, and people sit down and enjoy a nice prepared meal.
Socially.
Yeah. It's not for people to come over with their fucking cameras. I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But there's some people that are clueless. And people get upset when I say no. You know, that's my one rule. I don't. I'm not going to take pictures of you while I'm eating food. You know, it's just silly.
No, I'm not doing it.
No, don't do it. I don't do it. But people get mad. You know,
that's another thing. They turn quick.
Yeah.
They go from like, I love you, to fuck you.
Yeah.
You were never talented. I saw somebody do that on TMZ with the guy who directed Avatar. Do you remember that video?
James Cameron,
where the guy was like, hey, can I get an autograph? Yeah. I don't do autographs, which I sort of get. I get it a little bit, where he's like, that's sort of silly. It's just pen.
Yeah. Steve Martin does that too. He has a card he just gives out.
Huh. With his signature on it, already done.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, what? I made this ink stroke? That's making people godlike. Like we were talking, like that's silly.
Well, people just like to have like a memoir of meeting you. That's all it is. You know, they want to see something written down. Like they were there when that was written down. Sure. I understand it.
But the guy was like, fuck you, Avatar sucked, there was no storyline. Mm. And it was like, what happened? You just were really into the guy. And
you just let everybody know you're a liar. One way or another, you're a liar.
Yeah.
You're either a liar when you say it sucks, or you're a liar when you said you loved him.
Yeah.
But either way.
When you saw it, when news radio hit, now you're married, you got this family, it's all good. But back then, did you see like a jump in like vagina?
Well, news radio never really made me famous.
Okay. That did not?
No, not really. And not until like way after it was already aired. When it was on the air, I mean, I would get recognized occasionally, but it was pretty small time. It was a pretty small time. The show was not a big hit at all. And every year we were almost canceled. And at one point it was like number 84 or 88 in the ratings.
Wow, what a good show too.
Yeah.
Nobody likes quality entertainment.
Well, it wasn't that. It was that it was moved around and put in shitty time slots. There was no DVRs back then. So the time slot was really important to a show's success.
Yeah.
And news radio was moved around. Over the course of five seasons, we moved around 9 times. So it was a huge problem. So people never knew where to find it. So they would come home at Tuesday at, 8 o'clock and look for it. And then all of a sudden it wouldn't be on because now we're on Wednesdays. Or now we're on Monday. Yeah. Or now we're on Sunday. It was always fucking moving.
It's like
moving.
A kiss of death for a show to move. They just really try to stay away from that, right?
Yeah, for whatever reason. It's usually there's some sort of political thing that controls certain nights. Like Warner Brothers had Thursday night was a big night because Warner Brothers was the production company behind Friends. And they also had, I believe they had Caroline in the City. They had all these shows that they controlled on that night because they had Friends. I think they might have had Seinfeld too. I'm not sure about that though. But the point was that there was
Thursday.
All these shows on Thursday. Yeah. That it was a guaranteed powerhouse. Everybody would come home on Thursday night and watch those shows. So I was not famous on news radio.
Right.
But you, when you're around actresses and you're a working actor and you're a working actor on a sitcom, it's way easier to get laid.
They look up to you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's like comics do. I mean, don't you see like open mic comics? Like if you're around girls that are open mic comics, they worship you.
Yeah,
like,
it's I'm not comfortable with that kind of reference.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, wait, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, but I remember looking at like LaMare when she came into the Comedy Store and I was just like an employee or open micer. I was like, that's a paid regular.
Yeah.
It's a working comedian.
Mm.
Just looking up to, and then you realize later, like, oh no, there's plenty of shitheads and awful people that are there.
I when I first started doing comedy, when I was an open micer, I went to see a show in Boston, and I'll never forget this because there's these two guys that went up, and I was like, God, these guys are so good. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, these are guys that are professional comedians. But later, I went on to work with them, and they were such fucking cunts. And one guy was just this real saboteur who would like say shitty things about your act, hoping to erode your confidence for no reason. He was one of those guys.
Really?
And he was doing this to open micers.
Barf.
And he was doing it under the guise of like trying to give you advice. It was so disgusting. It was just him, his own psychosis that he was. And I remember thinking, man, I thought this guy was the shit.
Yeah,
when I first saw him.
Because you had no experience, I guess.
Went up there with a jacket on that was like a gas station attendant's jacket. So he's like kind of a hipster before there was hipsters. You know, it was Converse All-Stars and shit. And I was like, he looks like a comedian. He really looks like a professional comedian. He's like, he's irreverent in his dress. You know, and he went out there and said all these jokes. And then I did open mics and he came up to me after the show. And he fucking pulled me aside. He goes, listen, man, you are never going to make it if you keep doing what you're doing. I'm just telling you right now. I was like, what? He's like, swear too much. He goes, I go, but everybody else swears. I mean, I the guys I like, Dice Clay swears, Sam Kinison. He's like, oh, you're not fucking Sam Kinison. You're not Dice Clay. I'm like, they weren't Dice Clay at one time. They weren't Sam Kinison at one time. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? The guy was just so shitty to me. And then years later, I went back and I was on news radio and he was hosting the show. And we had this fucking conversation. I guess I was wrong. And I was like,
Oh, he said it?
Yeah, sort of. Good. But it was like gross. It was like, ugh. And he had stopped doing comedy. He was working as a radio guy.
There's very little sadder to me than when you see a comedian who's no longer doing it.
Yeah, it's weird.
I can't treat them
like
a regular person anymore.
I know, right?
It's just like they're below a normal.
Dude,
that sounded so horrible.
One of the things spiked me into really, really diving back into stand. One of them was bombing in front of a bunch of writers. I had a bombing session when I was on news radio. I wasn't writing any jokes, and I wasn't performing like with any passion for like a while.
About the jokes you were
I was
doing.
Too busy doing. I was like lazy. I was doing the show, and then when I would do the show, I would just go up and do stand up. But I wouldn't write any new shit. I wasn't really inspired. There was that, and then one of the producers of news radio goes, why are you doing comedy anymore, man? Like, you know, you're an actor now. Like, why are you still doing stand-up? And I remember him saying that to me. I'm like, my God, what if I listened to him? What if I just became this actor and stopped doing it? I couldn't even imagine not doing stand-up at all. And then I thought about it. I'm like, why would anybody even suggest that? The only reason why they suggest that is because I wasn't really that good.
Doesn't seem like you like this.
Yeah, I would like. I was like, man, I got to dedicate more time to my stand-up. So there's like no question why I'm doing stand-up. Like it's like I'd love to do it, but I had gotten like a little bit lackadaisical in my approach, so it kind of fired me up. But the idea of not doing it ever again, like, oh, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why would you stop doing comedy?
People don't get it.
Yeah, you, I mean, when I see guys that take years off and then come back, it's so sad. It's so sad to watch them have no grip on comedy. They used to be like real headliners. Go up and crush for an hour. Get on stage, have a polished set. Thank you, good night. Yeah, Tim Allen, everyone. Mm-hmm. Ah. Then they just take years and years off and do nothing, and they don't do it anymore.
There's this guy that just came back. Remember Joey Marmo?
Joey Marmo. Yeah, I do remember Joey Marmo.
Bit about like Themor. About the gay guy going to the bank. He was funny. Took 10 years off. Now he's back, and he's still doing those old jokes.
Whoa.
And it's like, Joey, what drove you to come back again? What did you want to express that you weren't already expressing? The same jokes from 10 years ago? There's nothing in you?
Why did he take 10 years off?
Wait, it wasn't going well. I don't know.
You got to keep going.
Into a habit.
The thing about comedy, man, is everybody at one point in time sucked. But if you can kill once, if you can figure out one joke, if you can get one fucking set together, you can be a real professional comic.
Yeah. Everyone's capable of making good jokes. You want to say people, this guy sucks, but it's like, so one joke out of 100 can't go over?
No, I wouldn't say everybody's capable. There's some people that are absolutely incapable of comedy. Comedy is an intangible language that some people understand and some people don't. It's like, you ever heard a little kid sing and that fucking kid already can hold a note for no reason? Yeah. They can just sing their ass off. It's weird, you know? Yeah. Some people just have a talent for things. And stand-up comedy is something that you can definitely develop, but you must have a spark. You know, it's like if you're in the woods and you're chipping fire, you know, tipping a piece of metal and flint together and trying to make sparks, and you start a little fire, you can blow on that fire and you can add sticks to it and you can actually make a campfire out of that. But you got to have that fucking spark first. It takes a lot of work to get an actual fire going, but the spark must be there. And some guys have no spark.
I still think everyone's capable of, if you keep going for years, you'll have one good joke.
Maybe. Maybe accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you keep throwing enough shit up against the wall.
Laughs, like, hold on, why do people keep laughing at that?
But you will never be a competent professional comedian that can be flexible when you're on stage and able to adjust to shit that happens in the crowd and, you know, and being able to deliver, you know, material in a solid way all the time on a regular basis. Some people can do it and some people can't, you know?
You know what I did last night that I want to do a lot more? I was going on after Argus, which is my workout spot.
Right.
And just fucking around, trying new stuff and just see what tangents come. And then I was like, hey guys, let's do this. You people in the front, I guarantee you, I'm the third comic on. Everyone's going to ask you where you're from, what your story is. So here's the situation. You guys are here to bury your son, okay? Watch it freak out the comic. Just try to say it. I was like, you or you, whichever couple there is, it's going to happen. Not the next comic, but two after that or beyond. Just do that. Whoa, sorry. And they're like, okay. I'm like, let me hear it. And the guy was like, I was like, oh, hey, where are you from? They're like, we're here from Australia. We're actually here just, we're burying our son. I was like, oh, that's chilling. That would work perfectly.
That's funny.
But I had to go to the improv, so I couldn't see it.
That's funny. You should have put a camera in the back of the room.
Yeah. So did you see the level of chick go up? Were you at some point like, oh my
God. Yeah, well, when I first came to Hollywood, first of all, women are so much prettier here than in Boston where I grew up. I mean, that's the big thing, is that there's so many pretty girls here. In Boston, a pretty girl is like a fucking diamond in a pile of shit. You know, they're hard to find, man. And you have one nice ones.
Pretty girls here.
Yeah, there's more of them. They come here to become famous.
Yeah.
But, you know, then along the line, you realize, like, they're crazier than I am. Like, I was used to being the crazy one in relationships. You know, when you're dating actresses, man, there's a good chance that they're crazier than you.
They are. I just either embrace the craziness or just stay away from it.
Stay away. I developed a no headshots policy. After Phil Hartman was murdered by his wife, I was like, that's it for me.
Yeah, most actors in general and actresses, but as a group, are super needy.
Yes, incredibly needy. It's unfortunate, man. It's also a part of what makes them great in the first place. What drives them to be good at something, what drives them to, you know, to seek public attention, to seek that sort of adulation. You have a hole that needs to be filled, you know, and it's almost like a psychological deficit that causes a lot of people to become great entertainers.
Yeah.
You know, there's a need to be extremely good, and that need is
and
to
also liked.
Yeah.
In all moments.
Yeah.
That's my theory on, like, if you have someone like Brad Pitt or people do $20 million a movie,
right?
You know, after 3 years of that, you can't spend all your money. You've gotten too much.
Yeah, you're right.
But they keep doing it. And the only reason I think they keep doing it is because when you're on a set, everyone on that shoot is kissing up to you.
That too, but there's some people that genuinely love being in a good movie.
Yeah, some people love the acting.
When you see a guy like Brad Pitt who picks his roles pretty carefully and is involved in a lot of interesting movies, you know, I think like here's a perfect example: Daniel Day-Lewis. That guy obviously is in. He loves the craft.
He's an artist.
He's an artist. Yeah. So I think there's some examples of people that just want to keep doing movies and look at De Niro's just doing dog shit now. He's just getting really paid. Yeah. I guess he's just trying to like live a completely lavish lifestyle, and he doesn't want to supplement it with his savings. You know, he doesn't want to go into his savings, so he wants to fly around in a private jet and just have these fucking stupid movies he's doing pay for it.
Yeah, they're bad. You look at it now, it's like, fuck you, De Niro.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing, man? You're in a fucking sorcerer movie where you're wearing a robe. Like, come on, how bad is that? You know,
somebody's joke, dad.
Yeah, right. The Fockers, Meet the Fockers. Really, bro. I didn't see that. I can't tell you if it's bad, but it just looks bad.
Yeah.
Tell you either. That's a weird, you know, it's a weird thing that happens too. Is it becomes maybe a job, you know, they start getting older, their passion wanes, and they start seeing it for what it is. It's just a business. And you know, and he says, listen, I did my art. I did Taxi Driver. I did Raging Bull. Fuck it. Now I'm Merlin.
There's an aspect of like, so when you start, people are like, if you find work, you take it.
Yeah.
And then that sort of just gets in you.
Sort of, but I mean, there must have been some bad things that were offered him over the years while he was famous that he didn't take. You know, it can't just be dumb luck that he did so many badass projects and was so fucking good at it. Like Cape Fear, remember that shit? Dude, he's a bad motherfucker, no matter how many stupid movies he does. Yeah.
It's all going to happen to all of us. What's up, Brian?
Yes.
Very nice.
I was just thinking of Robert De Niro movies that sucked. There's a lot of them.
A lot. Lately, it's been.
Lately, it's been pretty
consistent.
And him and the other dude. Al Pacino. I mean, you look at Al Pacino from
even
Dog
Dennis
Day
Hopper.
Afternoon.
Dennis Hopper, even.
Dennis Hopper's dead, bro.
I know, but I mean, like the movies
have
he
some
started.
Oh. He did.
At this time, we should talk about Elizabeth Taylor at this time.
Yeah, Elizabeth Taylor just kicked the bucket.
She died. That's another thing with fame. The fucking Hollywood Boulevard is packed because everyone's going to lay flowers on her goddamn grave.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious.
You can't get around Hollywood.
Yeah.
She's dead. She didn't even know who she was at the end.
Right. Where were you fuckers for her just a couple of years
ago? When she was shitting herself. Yeah. How come you didn't wipe her diaper? Fuck your flowers.
That's exactly like with Michael Jackson. When Michael Jackson died, I would listen to Michael Jackson here and there, but when he died, I fucking like downloaded every single song of his, and I started watching all these documentaries, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
What am I doing?
Yeah. Now I just saw it on my computer the other day. Like, it was like 6 gigabytes of files of Michael Jackson shit, and I'm like, delete.
Jim Norton has not left Liz Taylor alone while this fucking whole thing is going down, while she's dying. He's been attacking her with horrible tweets, and people getting mad at him. And his one he wrote today: the bad news is Liz Taylor died. The good news is we can use her to make lamp oil. And then the hashtag is lemons into lemonade.
What was the one you said last night?
Oh, she was married 8 fucking times. How pleasant could she have been? And he expresses, and then it gets to people are getting really mad at him. Oh, wow, he took one down.
He took one down? Why?
Yeah, he took one down.
Did he think it was not funny?
It must. It must have got too many people got angry at him.
I do that.
But there was one that was really funny, and he took it down. And it was like, I'm sorry, you know, if you, what did he say? If you're into. If you've been married more, I'm sorry if I offended you. If you've been married more than 11 times and enjoy movies from 1947, but he took that down. Oh, here it is. No, he didn't. I'm sorry. About my offensive Liz Taylor tweets. Let me apologize to anyone who's been married for more than 11 times or enjoys pre-1947 movies. That's the
like tweet. No one else should be getting upset at this.
Of course he didn't take it down. Why would I think he'd ever take anything down?
This the only reason I'll take something
so
down
crazy.
I don't know if it's funny or not, and it gets no response. I'm like, let me just delete that.
Norton doesn't give a fuck. He'll throw his bombs out there, and if they bomb, he'll make fun of his bombs, you know?
What an idiot. I think he might do my next story to the Hooker Show.
He's the best. I love that guy. He was awesome. We did a live podcast at the Smod Castle, which is interesting. We're going to do maybe one a month, Brian and I talked about.
You switched it up. Now you like the live audience.
No. What was awesome about it is that, you know, you do a Q&A and, you know, people get the chance to see the podcast live and you play off the crowd and you get a little bit more jokey, like trying to get like a response from the crowd. And when you get a good one, it's like fun, you know, and like Norton got a couple of good ones and Brian got a really good one. When you're talking about me beating off of the tank, that was really funny.
I saw Marin's live podcast in South by Southwest.
How was that?
Like Yusuf did. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch. It'd be more fun if everyone knew each other because it was all like individual guests.
Right.
I felt like you just didn't get as deep because, yeah. like, when you're in a room like this, you kind of feel like you're just talking to each other. But when you have all these fucking people staring at you, you kind of like feel always think that in your head. So right. It's kind of like
it's our fault,
off.
Though. It's our yeah. fault, though. It's our fault for not being relaxed. And when I did Corolla's podcast at the Irvine Improv, and the thing that struck me was that there's 300 fucking people there. If there's 300 people, this is not the best way I can entertain them. The best way right. I can entertain them is to do stand up.
Right.
You know, I can do stand up in front of crowds like this all the time. Like, why am I taking a night and not doing stand-up and have people coming out for something that's not as good in a live audience?
But it's also like sometimes just as an option, like you do yeah. stand-up 90% of the time.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it. It's just I felt like this is not the best thing I can do for these people. You know,
yeah. yeah.
For a live audience to see a podcast, podcasts to me are like something that you do like we're doing right now. Yeah. I think this is the best form of it, where you get it on your iPad or your iPod or whatever the fuck it is, and you play it in your car on your way to work. You play it in. In yeah. the subway, you played at the gym. I mean, we know some people that play this at a bar.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever that is, write me again.
Yeah.
If you guys thought it was so fucking cool, they yeah. just put it on at a bar, like you know, 10 of awesome. Friends and drink and laugh.
Yeah, and everybody's just shooting the shit. We yeah. love it. I mean, this is the best use of the podcast, I think. Yeah. You know, this is the best use of it. The doing it in front of a live audience is a different animal. But I think it's good
people,
to celebrate.
I remember people watching ONA when they used to have the stadium seats.
Yeah.
And they were there. I mean, they wanted to watch that
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
You could tell them like, hey, I'm going to do stand-up today if you want to come. They'd be like, eh, maybe.
Right.
But they loved watching that. That's, you know.
Yeah. I think we could do one a month and it would be fun. Mm-hmm. One a month. Always do it with a stand-up. You know, I think it would be real weird if it was someone who's not used to performing in front of live audiences. It might be a little odd,
yeah.
you know, for them to open up and express themselves. But maybe not, you know. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, I bet Dana DiArmond would be funny in front of a live audience.
She is.
She'd be funny.
That's who I fucked with for when Roddy Piper and I got into a fight.
Oh, really? She beat you up?
Her honor.
Oh, that's funny.
But she was like funny. I wasn't sure if it was like she was getting yeah. upset. I'm like, oh, no, you're joking. You're
She's cool. funny. Yeah. She's funny. Yeah. She was funny on the podcast. We had her a couple of episodes ago. She was great.
Okay. All right, so let's...
That's a weird fame.
That porn fame.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's the strange fame.
Yeah. Because everyone's like, I've seen you fuck.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it, you fuck in your... I've seen dudes nut into your asshole. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen their balls pulsating as they're shooting baby batter into your butthole. Right? That's you on the job.
That's the only time I'll actually focus on the cock in a porn is when I'm like, oh, if this is a cream, what do they call it?
Cream pie.
Cream pies. I'm like, I want to see it actually happening.
See it twitching?
So, yeah.
It shoots the load in there?
It's happening. Because there's no better pleasure when you're fucking to get that. I almost feel happy for the guy.
Mm, almost.
Yeah, that's a weird fame. Mm-hmm. Porn star fans. But
that's the most weird.
They've been sort of brought to the center
mm-hmm.
in the last couple of years. Because porn has become so like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's so common because so many people got famous off of it. Like Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian. Yeah. They made porn and then they got famous because of that porn. I mean, that is the door opener for Kim Kardashian. That 100%, no doubt about it. She's a porno star.
I never heard of her before.
And she's a fucking porno star, man. Yeah. And they did that shit on purpose. I mean, they released that thing on purpose. It was a calculated move and it
Paris
worked.
Paris Hilton became huge after that.
Yeah. So it's different today than it was like, say, like in the 1980s or in the 1990s.
Yeah. But the legit porn star. Yeah, they're not marginalized anymore.
They're still marginalized.
Yeah, but they're accepted at the supermarket. Nobody's like, get away from my daughter.
Yeah.
Well, they are some, but not as much.
It's weird how some break through and become massive, like Jenna Jameson, and some just fucking never really connect.
I guess it's a matter of...
It could be a confusing world.
Yeah.
Who hits good. And who doesn't? Yeah,
how
what the fuck?
I'm not famous. I fuck so good.
There's so many of them too, man. It's like you look at those amateur ones and like Bang Bus and all these different ones. Yeah. And it's like, Jesus Christ. Like they never run out of girls willing to do this.
Yeah. That is amazing when you're like, you did porn. You probably did five or six of them and now you're not doing porn anymore. This movie was from a while ago.
Some girls are just wild as fuck. Yeah, that's the weirdest. That God must be the weirdest fame ever. The porn fame, porn girl fame.
Especially getting recognized because it's like, can you imagine just being a girl like at a mall and this guy comes up and like, I really liked you in Ass Hunter.
Yeah.
You
know? And
here. Did you hear about that teacher that got fired that used to be a porn star?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They found her videos on the internet. She was a porn star like a few years back.
We gotta stop.
She quit and became a school teacher and apparently was a good teacher, but they found her videos online. They're like, listen.
The kids are going to find it. If we found it, the kids are going
to find it. Sorry. There's evidence.
Yeah. Chases you forever. Yep. I remember seeing Jaden James. She came to the Comedy Store once and she had these two like weird gay guys hanging around with her. Hi. Like those helpers of the moth guy and Venture Brothers, whatever. Anyway, but I thought it was her in front of me and I was like, Jaden? Jade? Because I don't know her fucking real name. And they kind of turned and looked at me and I'm assuming the same look Brian and I give when somebody's trying to get your attention. We're like, I don't know this guy. I don't know if he knows her. I'm going to pretend like I don't hear it.
Yeah.
And then eventually I was like, oh, hey, all right. And I was like, and then you can see them go, oh, and like relax around me.
Right. That she knew you.
Yeah. But if you're the type of guy who knows porn stars also.
Right.
You're also not the look type like of guy anyone wants to talk to.
Yeah.
You're
that's
like
a weird thing for those poor girls.
You also look like a perv too.
Yeah, I totally look like a perv.
And how many of those guys are like super stalker fucking predator types, and they got them isolated at like an expo, and then they're just trying to clock them to see where they're going and what parking lot they parked in and how they can follow them.
The porn stars gifts now. They have open Amazon wish lists.
Yeah.
And said, here, everyone I don't know, buy me this shit. This is what I want.
Dude, I looked on one of those girls, and she had a jacuzzi.
A jacuzzi.
A jacuzzi on her wish list. You know, you got to step up large to buy a chick like an $8,000 jacuzzi.
Who has that goal? Did she get it?
I don't know. I have no idea. I just every now and then, I'll read some vapid tweet. Like a
wedding
tweet.
Registrar, whatever they're called.
Yeah, yeah, just like that. Every now and then, I'll read some vapid tweet, and I go on an adventure. I'm like, okay, what's your life all about? Uh-huh. And then I'll click, oh, you got a blog. Fuck yeah, you do. And then I'll start reading your blog, and I'll start going into, oh, you got an Amazon wish list. No, you don't, hooker. A fucking jacuzzi? Bitch, are you crazy? But meanwhile, I mean, that's how a lot of girls get gifts, you know? Dana D'Armond always posts them, pictures of them, shit that she gets on her Twitter.
To let people know, that's a smart move.
Yeah, yeah, let people know that you get them, and she's going
to
show them.
I try to give thanks to people who get me high after shows.
Yeah.
To let other people know in the future.
Yeah.
You're going to get a thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because they always have like the nicest appliances when you go to a porn star's house. Like they have like, wow, they have a blender. Oh, they have a fucking griddle. Oh, they have like every single appliance. And then they have they all have Xboxes and Kinects.
Do you even get a thank you note with that?
I don't know.
Most of these girls will send something back. Like they'll send like an autographed underwear or like a personal video. Well, or just a personal video like, hey, thank you so much for this.
Use tampon.
My butthole.
Oh, that would be the ultimate for a lot of guys.
Yeah, a lot of guys to make tea out of that shit.
Gross.
I want to become a porn star. All right. Well,
so that's the message, folks. Fame ain't all it's cracked up to be. It's a strange ride. It's good in some ways. It's bad in others. Use it for good like a goddamn superhero.
It seems like everyone looks at it like, I really, really want that.
Of course they do.
And the amount of famous people I've met over the years, especially being at the Comedy Store and hanging out with MMA people, it's like there's some people that are cool. There's plenty that are douchebags. Mm-hmm. Most of them are just normal people.
Well,
so it don't matter.
You're pretty good at dealing with it. But it's got to be weird also to be around fame, you know, when you're not famous. I mean, that's got to be strange too. When you're around a friend and all of a sudden they're getting swarmed on people. What is that like?
Yeah, it's strange. It's a little bit weird where it's like, oh, and I feel bad. Like when we go into a private area in the club and if I'm trailing behind a little bit, I'm like, oh, excuse me, I don't want to bother anyone, but would you mind if I go in there with my friends?
Yeah. And then they're like, who's this guy?
Yeah. And I feel like a leper. I felt out of place on that Qantas flight to Australia, I felt like they were all going to know.
That you shouldn't belong up there in first place.
You and I were the only ones with t-shirts on.
Yeah, we looked like derelicts. I hadn't shaved in weeks.
Ugh.
Yeah, that always happens when they look at my ticket. If they don't know who I am, they look at my ticket. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing in first class? With your stupid jacket on, your beard, baseball hat.
I find myself judging people a little bit when I see them come up to you. If they're like revering you too much.
Mm.
Or any of the fighters too, something like that. It's like, you want to be like, you don't say anything, but just in your head, like, what are you doing, man?
They just don't have enough experience around people, and they also probably have been surrounded by knuckleheads their whole life. You know, that's usually all it is. I mean, the real fact, and we've talked about it on our podcast many times, of most people's lives is that you can't really totally choose the people you're around. You grow up in a certain place. You get a job in a certain place. You're surrounded by certain people that just happen to be working where you're working. And this is your social circle. And it can affect your life greatly. And you can't really do much about it. You know, we can. You know, that's the rare thing.
How do you feel about it, being around it?
Hmm?
How do you feel being around it?
I think at first it was kind of fun, but most of the time it just becomes like, all right, I'm just fucking hungry. Yeah. The restaurant's right there.
Yeah, whenever
it's getting mobbed. And it's going to be like 20.
That's like Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas. We're going to a club. We're going to a club.
And most of the time that doesn't happen. You should just clarify. No. Only in Vegas.
No, but it happened in Fear Factor days.
Yeah.
I just remember this now, but there was the standard, the Sky Bar we used to go to, and there's this pool there that no one ever uses. But one time these two girls got into their underwear, took the bras off too, and were like swimming up and down just to get attention. It was like, oh, whatever. But then they dried off, put their clothes back on. Or I think one of them came over and asked you for an autograph. And then you gave it to her, whatever. And then she kept trying to hang around. You're like, oh, excuse me, I'm talking to my friends. And then she got super bitchy immediately. She was like, whatever she was angry and like right. started screaming, yelling.
Yeah.
So as we were leaving, she was saying, whatever. And as I passed by her, she was standing in front of the pool with her clothes on. And I just touched her chest and pushed her back into the pool.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Holy
and
shit. Wow,
I didn't know grabbed that. At me as her gravity was pulling her back. Like, you know wow. that? Like,
right.
She stayed there for a little while and I'm just moving my hands back, not letting her catch me. And then it falls and I just walk away, waved and walk wow. away.
Holy shit.
The story was just so freeing for me.
Why do I not remember
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I would have remembered
you were ahead walking out and I just did it on the way out.
But you must have told us that you
yeah,
did that.
Yeah, you had to have.
I don't know if I did.
Unless you just
You think you just pushed her in the pool? That's like some serial killer
what, yeah,
shit.
Yeah, what he's been doing this maybe the whole time, you know what I mean?
Like pushing people off bridges and shit.
For that or something.
Wow, you mean you might not have told me until now that you pushed some girl in a pool like 8 years ago?
Also, we're probably all super stoned.
Most likely.
So we might not remember, but yeah.
Yeah,
he's
most
been poisoning
likely.
Maids
that's,
on the road.
That's hilarious,
it was
dude.
So freeing.
Pushed in the pool. I do remember many times where that's happened. We say, "I'm just going to go to my hang out with my friends. It's very nice meeting you." Oh, what? You're fucking too cool to talk to us. Like
yeah.
that. Well, I didn't say
Sigh.
That. I just said I want to go to my friends. Nice meeting you. And you know, the normal social thing would be to say, "Nice meeting you too. Take it easy."
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you want to go there? Why would I not want you to go there? If you don't want to be around me, why would I want you around me? That's what I never understand.
Girls
yeah.
get it less because they've never gotten that
right.
before.
Of course. And they're putting themselves out there where they don't normally do that. They're putting themselves out there because they're excited. Where normally they're pushing guys away, and so when they put themselves out, and then you go like, "Thank, well, it was very nice meeting you." And like, who the fuck are you? You know, like they went out there and you didn't reciprocate. So you're
like, what do they do?
They feel bad, so they don't know. They're dumb, so they don't know why they feel bad. They don't understand it. They don't break it down. They just feel bad around you, so they lash out. Well, you must have made me feel bad.
Yeah,
you're an asshole. Asshole. That's why dumb people think I'm an asshole all the time. If you're around a dummy, man.
Yeah, there's people that really misinterpret those Amazing Racists.
Of course.
That it was like, fine, you're dumb. I can't explain to you what irony is.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to change your opinion. Fine. If you hate me, I'm cool with it. If a smart person hates me, I'm a little bit less cool with it.
Yeah, you're never going to fucking make everybody happy. It's absolutely impossible. Yeah. And you're going to waste a tremendous amount of time on a lot of people that need undeserved attention. There's nothing you can do about that. That's the other thing about managing, you know, a certain amount of celebrity. You have to manage who you communicate with and why, you know?
Because they're going to want more attention.
Yeah, and you can't respond to people that get negative. There's just, especially when you get to a certain, like, you get like, I'm like almost at 300,000 Twitter followers. If someone says something negative, I just block them.
You block them?
Block them. Block them every time.
Them, just
no,
them.
Just block them. I don't know. I'm going to deal with your bullshit.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to deal with your bullshit. You want to be stupid? You want to call me a faggot? You enjoy your life. Take care. We don't connect anymore. It's simple. I don't need that, man. You're just a little child. And if you're not a little child, then I feel really bad for you. If you're actually an adult
you're not
and you're this negative looking for attention and looking to insult me, you don't even know me, you dumb fuck.
Yeah.
And you're focusing all your time on this. Most people online are cool as fuck. Most people are cool. The real issue with
the
world.
With any large number, you're going to have a few stick
Exactly. out. Which is the issue with the fucking problem with the world today is that we get all this negative shit from the whole world of 7 billion people.
Mm-hmm. And you only get the interesting stories.
Right. And if you're going to look at only negative shit, fuck, you're going to fill your day up with the apocalypse.
And I think the biggest thing is the age. I wish there was a way that we could find out the age of every single person online. Because I think the majority of people, if I was fucking 12 years old, I'd be attacking people left and right.
And if you knew they were 14, you'd be like, oh, okay, no big deal. But if you always picture in your head, oh, this 26-year-old douchebag.
Right. Sort of. Either way.
Yeah.
Blocked. Yo, moving on. Like, I ain't got no time. No. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no time. But yeah, there was nothing like this when I was 12. If there was, I'm sure I would have been a cunt.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially if I could get them to actually respond
back. Oh, that'd be the ultimate.
You know? Yeah, fuck. You win. Yeah. You win somehow.
All right, well, let's do plugs. So I think we came to a little bit more of an understanding about what it's like.
For you guys who don't know, Ari's doing this podcast all the time. He's doing at least one a week, and they're putting them up on the Death Squad. If you go to deathsquad.tv, right?
Yeah, and subscribe on iTunes. It's called Death Squad. And
what Death Squad is really like a radio station of all of our friends. It's all funny people that Brian knows, and most of it is at Brian's house. This one we did at my place, but you know, there's a ton of them. So if you're looking for interesting podcasts, and didn't you just do one yesterday with that gay guy that I heard was really
Justin,
good?
Yeah,
that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, what's his name?
Justin Martindale.
Yeah, I heard it was really good.
Yeah, it's just a thing of like, well, you remember like we used to judge gays like, well, it's a gay
I actually grew up with gay people.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't judge them.
Really? I did. I grew up with all Jewish people, too. So
when I was seven, we moved to San Francisco, and we lived right next door to some gay people, and they would get high, and my aunt would go over and get naked with them, and they would all sit around smoking pot and play the banjos. Yep. So that normal, was, to
normal
me,
shit. Normal shit.
To me, it was normal. I mean, it's ridiculous, but I was used to being around gay people. You know, they were nice people. Yeah. And so, you know, like when I moved to Florida, and I was around people that hated gay people, like the first time. Yeah.
And so you never figure out anything about them.
I was baffled. I couldn't understand why everybody was so mad at them.
Understanding other people helps your own life.
Yeah.
You could pick things from them, from their lifestyle, and use it for yourself. Well,
and when you're seven, and you know, my parents were really hippie and liberal.
I mean, for whatever they're doing, whatever it is, rich people, whatever it is.
It's all in how you're raised, man. It's really that simple. If somebody raises you to be fearful and be hateful, you'll be fearful and hateful. My parents raised me to be really open-minded, and they didn't care at all. My stepdad, though, used to get pissed off because gay people used to hit on him. I do remember that. I remember one time a gay guy hit on him when he was with my mom and I think maybe one of me or my sister, and a gay guy hit on him, and it got kind of creepy.
Wow.
Yeah, this means there's gay douchebags just like there's straight douchebags.
Absolutely.
There's people not that all the same too. All I've had guys
are doing not all gay guys are doing anything.
I've had gay comics hit on me to the point where it was like
uncomfortable.
Like you're like, what are you doing here? You're intimidating me. You know, you're trying to fuck with me. This isn't like you don't think I'm gay. You're just being a fucking cunt. You know, it's just like a guy who's harassed a girl. What? You're afraid of some dick, you little fucking whore? You're afraid of some dick? You know what I mean? It's basically the same shit. He's just doing that to me.
Yes.
You know, how about I suck your cock? How about I kill you with my hands? How about that? Fucking freak.
Nice. Someone else, Redband.
Yeah, is that Redband? Twitter, DeathSquad.tv, and then Twitter, we are Joe sponsored Rogan. By Warm Cantaloupe in the microwave with a whole.
Oh shit!
By Warm Cantaloupe. And then Redband does a show at Sal's every Wednesday.
Yeah, with Joe Rogan.
Wacky
show
Wednesdays. Is that what it's Joe called?
Wacky Wednesday. At Sal's Comedy Hall. And it's fun. It's a great little spot. Sal's Comedy Hall is a sweet little spot on Melrose.
What are the shows you got coming up you still have tickets for?
Next weekend, Portland, the Oregon. The Helium Comedy Club. We're there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think.
That's good. Get your tickets.
Joey Diaz and myself and Brian, and we're going to have a fucking blast.
It's like a new comedy club, right?
A
good club.
Yeah, it's a new club. It's supposed to be the shit. And I'm looking forward to hanging around Portland.
Yeah.
You know, Brian was up there. He enjoyed the shit out of it.
Is that one donut place you gotta go to? Voodoo Donuts.
We'll go there. Yeah, maybe we'll go fishing too.
Get it.
Joey wants to go fishing.
Fishing.
All right, bitches.
All right.
And then try to send me a name for a new name for this.
We'll see. Tweet Ari the names. I like Jew Clam with Ari Shaffir.
It's a work in progress.
It's funny. Or just the Ari Shaffir podcast is good too, man.
Yeah, and come to Crackers in May. I'll be there.
When is this? May what?
May 25th through 28th.
Crackers where?
Crackers, Indianapolis.
Crackers in Indianapolis. Arch Fear, are you headlining? Fucking savage? Is this the chipmunk version of I Want to Be a Billionaire? This is not worth playing.
Turn it up to play us out. All right, thank you, guys. Have a good night. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Brian.